Hello, everybody. Susan here today. Welcome to our coaching call. If you can hear me, hopefully you can, please say hello in the chat. Type in and say hello. I see Jim is here and Paul Ramirez. Welcome, gentlemen. Glad to have you on the call today. And I'm hoping you can hear me. Please type in and let me know. Say hello. And if you want to answer our, going to start off with a just kind of a for fun while we're waiting for other people to join us. Hey, folks. Hey, Jim. Thank you for putting that in. I see a couple of other people have joined us. Thanks for being here. Linda, welcome. Linda's jumped on to join us. And while we're waiting, I'm waiting for a couple more people to join. If you would like, go ahead and answer. I'm hoping you can see the screen, the just for fun question this time around. What's one item on your bucket list? Kind of a fun question. Let me know where you'd like to go or what you'd like to do or anything like that. Linda says go back to Italy and stay longer. Yes. Italy is one of those places that makes you just want to stay. Good for you. Good for you. Well, I'm going to dive in and ask you folks to go ahead and, in the chat, share a win, big or small, type a capital W in the chat so that I can see that it's a win. Doesn't matter how big or how small. Would love to hear what has gone well for you since the last time we were on a call together. Just a capital W and let me know if you've had any wins. And Francis just joined us. Francis, welcome. So glad to have you here. Anybody have a win this week that they'd like to share, even a small one? Please type a capital W in the chat and let me know. I do have a couple of pre-submitted questions for today's call, and they're really good ones. I think that all of you will enjoy hearing the questions and listening to some ideas that I have for these two folks that submitted questions. But in the meantime, please type in the chat, capital W, and if you have a small win, big win, anything, would love to celebrate with you. And win, and I see someone did type in, and I'm sorry, it's just your initials. I don't see what your name is, so I apologize for that. But I have a call with a prospect to write an article for a property assessed clean energy program. That's exciting. Congratulations. Wonderful to have that opportunity to have a conversation. That's really great. And if you would type in, just so I know who you are, just type in your first name into the chat so I know who that was. Chris, thank you. thank you, Chris. So that's exciting. And Bill, I see you've joined us. I know you're at work and you'll be silent, but glad you're here. I did get your question. That's one of the ones I'm going to be answering today. All right. I'm going to move along. What material are you implementing right now? So in the chat box, type in a capital I and let everyone know what you're working on in the program. So what session you're on, maybe what tools you're playing with, what kinds of things are you implementing right now? What are you working on? Would love to hear about that. Linda, thank you. Session 4, looking for referrals. That's great. And Bill says he's trying to create a short list of email prospects from a LinkedIn search. Good for you. Good for you. LinkedIn, great tool. I'm a big fan. Good for you. Jim says prospecting. Prospecting, prospecting. That's what you should be doing right now, every day. If you've gotten to that point in the program and you're been through the warm email prospecting, that's really what you, I would say, at least 80% of your time should be spent doing, is out there looking for connections, looking to unearth those leads and those prospects. And Chris says, developing my follow-up strategy from warm email replies that did not have a current project but were interested. Terrific. They're part of that not yet ready group. And I know a good part of this program goes into how to handle the not yet ready. Not sure if you're there yet, Chris, in the program, but that's definitely a big part of, let me see, handling the not yet ready. So that's actually at the end of the program, so you might not be there. It's session 8 is nurturing not yet readies and how to handle them. So. Great. Anybody else have anything to share with implementing anything that you're working on right now? And I know I have someone on here who's just on the phone. I know you can't join in, but in the chat, but anybody else who wants to share something that they're working on, that would be great. All right. Well, we're going to dive in to the questions, because I've got a couple of really good questions here today. And the first one that was submitted online is from John, and I want to say pronounce his last name Reiling. I hope that's correct. But John says, I've been sending out emails for a couple of months now, but still do not have a client. I'm probably averaging one per day, recently a little more, but realistically, over time, that's what it's been. And so I'm considering some changes, such as contact people more directly via LinkedIn, contact multiple people within the same company, widen the scope to an adjacent market, and he has one that he's actually got some experience in, write some free posts or comments for blogs, maybe even directly on prospect sites if possible. Write more posts on industry sites to add exposure, start a blog, start regular articles on LinkedIn. Can you comment on these? What is the best path in the short run to gain a paying client? I also realize that there is surely a sweet spot in the market, clients that have enough money and have good growth prospects versus companies that are more mature and have more established processes in place already. I have not tapped much of a referral approach yet. This is great. I love this question, and it's one that we hear often in this particular program, simply because sometimes it feels like we're churning and not doing anything. We're not getting anywhere. And so I want to start, John, by, I know, I don't believe you're on the call. Let me just take another quick look. And if you are, let me know in the chat, but I don't believe he's on the call today. So what I want to do is address a couple of different things. The first thing that John starts out by saying is he's been sending out about one email a day for a couple of months. I don't know how many months that is, but let's just assume that it's 2 months or 3 months. If it's one a day and he's only sending them out during the week, that's about 20 a month. So he hasn't even reached 100 emails in the time that he's been doing it. So the first thing that I would definitely draw your attention back to is just realistically, is that a lot of emails or not? To me, that feels like a small number when we actually do the math. So the first thing you want to look at, if you're in this situation, you're feeling like, wow, I've been emailing like crazy, take a look and see what the real numbers are and get some perspective and just make sure, have I been emailing like crazy, or is this just my perception? It just feels really heavy. I think in the beginning, email prospecting can be really challenging, and especially when you're not getting a lot of response. So My two favorite words when it comes to this are patience and persistence. So that's the first thing I would draw your attention to, John, and anyone else who might be feeling the same way or in the same situation. The next section of his question, he lists a number of things that he's considering, which is fantastic. This is perfect. And right down the middle of this list, I drew a line directly through the middle because the first three things are outbound, and then the next three, four things are inbound efforts. So I'm not sure if John, if you did that on purpose or it just happened that way, but the first thing that you want to be thinking about as someone who's new to this is outbound. And in your outbound efforts should be a little heavier at this point than your inbound efforts. What I mean by outbound versus inbound. The first three are contact people more directly on LinkedIn, contact multiple people within the same company, and widen your scope to an adjacent market. Those are all proactive things that you do outbound. You're reaching out to get in front of people, to get their attention, and that kind of thing. So I would definitely focus on all three of those. The only reason that I would focus on the widen the scope to an adjacent market for you, John, in particular, is because in your notes you say you have a lot of experience in this area that you're thinking about broadening to. So at this point, I would say it's okay to do that. The other two, contact people more directly on LinkedIn. Absolutely, you should be doing that every day. Contact multiple people within the same company. If the company is large enough, absolutely. You never know whose attention you're going to get. And who might have a need. Not everyone in the same department might have the need for your services, so reaching out to more than one is perfectly fine. I think those are excellent ideas. The next couple of things that you list are about writing some free posts, writing posts on industry sites, starting a blog, or regular articles on LinkedIn. So those are more inbound. So you're just putting your thoughts out there and hoping that people see them and then reach out to contact you. That's not something that I would recommend you spend a ton of time on right this minute. I think that inbound is a fine art. It takes some getting used to. If you want to do a little bit of that, I think it's a good idea. But starting a blog in particular, that one kind of jumped out for me on the list. Starting a blog is a lot of work. And what I'd be concerned about for you at this point or for anyone at this point is to be suddenly distracted by trying to get blog articles written and your attention taken away from prospecting, because that's really the number one thing that you need to be doing right now is prospecting and reaching out on a regular basis. So a couple of things that I would recommend is that you definitely include, you said you hadn't tapped much of a referral approach yet. Oh my goodness. Definitely reach out to your network. Definitely reach out to people you know. Start making connections and using the referral approach. It's one of the best ways to get your first client. It's the way I got my first client when I started working as a copywriter. Ed would probably tell you the same thing. It's part of why it's such an important piece of this program, of the B2B Launcher program, is because its referrals are golden. So looking for those golden nuggets, looking for those connectors, definitely work that part of the system fully. And so overall, I'd say bump up your efforts. Do more than one a day if your time permits. I'm not sure, John, if you're working full time. I believe you are. So that might be a challenge, but bump that up to three or four a day if you could do that. And really start being more proactive in the outbound side through LinkedIn. Multiple contacts in the same company, and definitely reaching out and doing that referral and that connection. I would exhaust those before stepping back and saying, okay, I need to overhaul the whole thing. Definitely don't go in that direction. But increasing your reach, increasing the number of connections you make, you should just be building your list of potential prospects right now and reaching out to them. And I think that's where I'd love to see you focus. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that addresses your concern. John, if you have further questions, feel free to jump on Facebook and post your questions in the Facebook Q&A thread so that Ed and I can both address any further questions you might have. But I hope that helps. All right. And then on to the second question that was submitted today. And this is from Bill. And I know, Bill, you're on the call today, but I also know you're at work and cannot jump on and contribute, which is unfortunate because I have some questions for you. So let me read Bill's question. I am embarrassed to say that I'm having trouble with confidence regarding sending out cold emails. I understand this is a necessary part of doing business. I want to possibly get more training on this. Unfortunately, my personality is such that I like to be fully prepared and armed with knowledge and confidence before I put my neck out there. And he adds, it's a Virgo defect, I think. I absolutely understand. Can you provide some additional resources, books, or refer me to more training where I can build up my confidence level and master cold outreach? I have my first question, and I'm not sure, Bill, if you can type in and respond, but you use the term cold emails, and I'm not quite sure if I'm clear on what you mean by that. I assume that you mean the warm email prospecting that the program teaches you how to do, and I think it might just be a misnomer on your part. So I'm going to assume, because it's a big difference between cold emails and the warm email prospecting that Ed, okay. So cold to me is that I don't know them. Gotcha. So I would suspect that, I also have then another follow-up question for you, Bill, is, let me see, what session are you in? Have you gone through session 5 entirely in? You are in session 5. Okay. So just working through that now. All right. One of the things that the first place I would start is make sure that you've gone through all of the warm email prospecting modules, all of the work, everything that Ed recommends, and put that in place and start with that. Because cold is, I understand what you're saying, cold to you is that you don't know them. I understand that, but that is not necessarily the way to look at it. The email process that Ed is teaching you in this program is designed to warm them up. So there's some lead-in to that. In other words, there's some work to be done to find out who they are and to reach out to them. And then turn them into a warm prospect. So in other words, yes, just blasting out an email to them. There's not a whole lot of difference in terms of style, but reaching out, connecting with them on LinkedIn first is a good way. This might be one way for you to kind of overcome your concern about them being completely cold. I'd reach out to people, maybe make some comments on things they've posted, invite them to connect, maybe do some of that type of work, put in a little bit of that prep work, if you will, so that that's honestly the only way to connect with new prospects is to introduce yourself. Again, I always go back to LinkedIn being that online world's largest networking event. So imagine that you're in a big room with hundreds of people and you're walking the room and you're handing out your business card and introducing yourself to people. Treat LinkedIn the same way, and definitely reach out to people and say, hey, you know, I saw that we're both connected to so-and-so, or I saw a recent article that you posted, or something along those lines. So you're basically making a meaningful connection with that person, and then add them to your email list and start following up with email. The other thing is my question to you, I have two other questions, and you've put another question up there, so I'll read that in a minute, is what do you think is missing for you? And you put in a question in the chat. So to be clear, a better strategy would be to ask to connect on LinkedIn and then send them a warm email after the connection. So yes. My answer to that, Bill, is yes, if you're more comfortable doing it that way, because what I understand here is that you're feeling just not super confident with just reaching out and sending them an email. This is one workaround, so to speak. One way to get around that is to actually reach out to them on LinkedIn and make a meaningful connection. Say, hey, I saw that you posted this article, or that you liked it, or I see that your company is working and, you know, to get into this new industry, or maybe this new area and a new direction, and thought we should connect. So you want to make that connection first, and then send them a warm email? Absolutely. That's a great way. It's the same thing you would do, again, if you went to a networking event somewhere live and you met someone, they gave you their business card, which is exactly what LinkedIn is, just is exchanging business cards. And you go back to your office, what's the first thing you do? You're going to pop onto your email and follow up and say, it was great to meet you the other day on, you know, at the event, and then maybe send them some information that might be of interest to them. So yes, that's one way to just kind of get around that feeling of cold. And I certainly understand because yes, technically these people are cold if they don't know you at all. But that doesn't mean, that they have to stay that way. This is an opportunity for you to reach out, introduce yourself, make that connection, and then start following up with on regular email with your warm email prospecting. And I hope that makes sense. I hope it makes it a little bit easier for you because I certainly understand. The other thing that I might recommend to you, Bill, is the same thing that I mentioned about in regards to John's question. He asked about the whole referral piece. Using LinkedIn to ask for an introduction is something that happens all the time on LinkedIn. So I might go out and do a search on LinkedIn and find a person who's a perfect connection for me, would be a great prospect. And I happen to notice that both of us know Jim. Both of us are connected to Jim. So then my next step would be to reach out to Jim and say, hey, I see that you're connected to this prospect. Would you mind introducing me through LinkedIn, which they can do. So that's another way to help just warm this up a little more for you so that you don't feel like you're just reaching out. The one thing that I really appreciate about Ed's approach is that it is a warm approach. He never wants to go in leading with, hey, can I sell you something? It's, I'd like to connect. I think I've got something of value for you. So presenting yourself as my services, giving them something of value, not so much pitching your services, but really just saying, reaching out and saying, hey, here's an article that I thought you might be interested in. There's an event coming up, or a webinar. That's something that I like to do even if it's not my webinar, if it's someone else's, but I see it and I think, wow, that's something that would be helpful for this prospect. Send them a link and say, hey, I was thinking about you. This webinar is coming up. Thought you might be interested. So it's just giving them value, making connections that, for them and giving them value again helps warm them up so that you're not just selling, selling, selling. So it's getting in front of them and in a warm approach and by no means a hard sell type of an approach. All right. So Bill, if you have any further questions, feel free to just type it in if you can. I'm hoping that helped. I hope that gives you just a slightly different mindset shift. This is about shifting your mindset and thinking a little bit differently about how you approach people. It's not about the used car salesman kind of thing or, you know, this is hard sell. I really want you to just subtly say, how can I help this person today? What can I do to give them a little bit of value, bring value to them today and not worry about selling or landing a client? And I think the hardest part when you're in this point in the program and you're starting to eat warm email and you're starting to get out there, you're starting to put yourself out there, it's hard to not want to find that first client really badly. I absolutely understand. It's hard not to feel a little bit anxious and perhaps even just, you know, really wanting to make that first connection, make that and have somebody respond positively and bring you in as at least to have a phone call. And I think that's definitely a mental barrier that I want you to be aware of and to just be mindful of is, you know, try not to be too anxious. Maybe even I'll use the word desperate, like, oh my gosh, it's been months. I really just want to land my first client. I've been there a couple of times over the course of my career in a couple of different situations. And it's frightening. It's very unnerving. And I understand 100% about just, struggling with the confidence side. But again, patience and persistence are the most important things you can keep in mind. And don't work so hard for the sale, work hard to build the relationship. And if you go with that mindset to begin with, I think you'll have better luck. If you're just reaching out and saying, hey, found this great article, thought you might enjoy it. Hey, there's a webinar coming up that I think, pertains to what you're doing. Those types of value ads are really, really powerful, can be very, very powerful. So I'm hoping that that helps. And at this point, those are the two questions that I had that were pre-submitted. So thank you for doing that. And as always, if you can't be on this call and you know one is coming up, feel free to post those in the same place where you go to find the login information for the call. You want to post it in there's a section in there to put a pre-submitted question. And if you can get it in the day ahead, that's super. So at this point, I want to open it up to everyone who's on the call, and we've got a good number of people here. And so type in the chat if you have a question, type a capital Q, and then ask your question. Please have one question per person, and if I can, I'll come back, circle back around if I have time and everyone's questions are answered, we'll come back. And if possible, tell me what you're thinking about, what you've thought of. I loved these two questions because in John's case, he had quite a few things that he listed that he was already considering, and turns out he was already on the right path. He was heading in the right direction, and that's terrific. And sometimes you just need somebody to tell you, yes, that's the right direction. So please do type in a capital Q and tell me what it is that you have a question about, things that you're working on right now. All right. Anybody have a question of any kind that they'd like some help with? All right. Linda has put in a question. I have an upcoming writing project, light on details, but assuming it will require near full time, should I keep prospecting during that project? Linda, I'm going to unmute you and bring you on because I have a couple of questions. I'd love a little background.
Okay. Hi, I'm here.
Hi there. Is it okay for you to talk?
Yeah, it's fine.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the project.
Well, what I know is that it is in the field of adult education / technical writing. It's not a rush deadline.
Okay.
And the pay is by trade, and they have a general page outline. The process will be, I submit an outline, get that approved, and then go through periodic reviews.
Got it.
But I don't know much more than that, except on or about March 1st, it will start.
Okay.
But I'm assuming that it'll take, it'll tie me up pretty much most of the working day.
So is it a large, it sounds like that it would be a pretty big volume project if it's going
to take 125 to 150 pages.
Okay.
So
I absolutely think that prospecting during the project is critical because especially where you've got so many unknowns, that would be the one thing that I would say you're looking at, you said 125 to 130 pages?
150.
Okay. And if they don't have a tight deadline, then you kind of can spread that out a little bit on your own. And I think this is one of the things that what you'll find in writing in particular, and if you haven't done, have you done a project of this size before? Something of this?
Well, I've written study guides and other sorts of manuals for software. So...
Okay.
Enough so that in the context of, what I was doing in the midst of managing a project and other things that that was sort of seamless. And now this is like, I have no idea. I'm coming into some, you know, maybe even someone's thought processes at the very beginning. So
definitely,
you know. Yeah.
Definitely. So, the, you know, one of the nice things about this is that there's obviously there's some unknowns, but one of the things that from your experience, you already, I would assume, have an understanding of how much writing you can tolerate in a given day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I know for me, I definitely have a, you know, a limit to how much time.
It's about 4 hours, I think.
Yeah. Type, exactly, yeah. And write. So that being said, if you're looking at setting some milestones for this project and just looking at, okay, so if I'm writing 4 hours a day times 5 days, assuming you can get that that kind of writing time in, how many, and it's, you know, what will that give you? So do the math a little bit, kind of play with that a little bit just to see how can I make this work in my schedule? And this is something that I do personally. I do when I've got a couple of different projects that have come up back to back. So I've got, like right now, I'm working on a pretty significant project. It's time consuming, on a almost daily basis, but I've figured out how to kind of spread it out so that I can work on a second and potentially a third project and mm-hmm. still meet all my deadlines. So this takes a little bit of practice, I guess, or, you know, you just want to be thinking about if everything's in a perfect world, if I could sit down and write 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, how long will that take me? And then you want to build in, and this is just for your own, I guess, your own scheduling, is to then figure out, okay, so let's say that I need to take a day off for some reason or another, or, you know, maybe I'm traveling, I've got meetings, I've got other things, then how does that, you know, how does that work with my schedule? The nice thing about this project you're talking about is that it doesn't sound like they have a hard and fast deadline, so that gives you a little bit more play. But I would definitely continue to prospect, because once okay. this is over, you don't want to have to start all over again, you know?
Right. Yes, right.
You know, and if someone comes to you, you're prospecting. Yeah, and they come back to you, someone responds and says, hey, you know what, we have a small project that, you know, that isn't as labor intensive or time intensive, then you can, you know, start working in smaller projects, tuck them in around your bigger one.
Yeah, right. And part of it too, even if I get some more details, probably won't be until I get through this first round of an outline and in reviews and that kind of interaction.
Absolutely.
For what they're looking for and that kind of thing. And then once I have that, I'm hoping it'll become more sort of not routine, but, you know, something I can more easily plan for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once you get to know the clients a little bit and get to know the project a little more, then you can.
Like, I don't even know the subject line at this point.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. Well, so definitely it's a, you know, this is something that's a little bit more advanced in terms of, okay, so now I've got a project. The question comes up a lot of, do I continue to prospect? My question and Ed's answer and my answer is always unequivocally, yes, keep prospecting. Mm-hmm. If you want to ramp back a little bit, but not too much, because you're still new enough at this that, you know, our biggest concern and what we see often is that people get into this, they land a client, they start prospecting, and then that momentum stops. And that prospect, that project is done, and now they're starting all over again, and they're on these calls, and they're saying, oh my gosh, I can't find any more clients. I don't want you to be in that place. I want you to continue. I've been talking to people. Right now, I couldn't take another large project on like I'm working on right now, but if someone came to me, I'd say, you know what, let's talk in June. By June, I'll have a better idea. So, and that's only a couple of months out, but so I can potentially start on your project in June. If that works, great. They'll wait for me. If it doesn't, okay. But I can't work. I only have so many, like really strong hours per day to put in. And if I want to do my best, then for me, I know for me personally, that's, I've got to stick to that. I've got to be really good about sticking to that. So.
Yeah.
So, and you know yourself best, and, you know, once you get into this, I mean, this is exciting. It sounds like it's going to be a great project for you.
Yeah, I think I know the subject, but I'm not certain. You know, but it's a writing to adults, so it should be. And I've done projects for this outfit before, so they know my work and they like
great.
Me. So,
great.
Yeah. So, great. Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's exactly copywriting, but it pays the bills, you know?
Oh, gosh, and it's a great testimonial for you or potentially a referral, that kind of thing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, definitely keep us posted on Facebook. Let us know, you know, give us an update on how things are going. And definitely want to kind of keep an eye and see how this goes for you.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm just like, I keep checking the mail to say, do I have any information yet?
Well, good for you. Good for you. That's exciting.
All right. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Good luck with that. Wonderful. Great question. Always it's always a tempting to land a client or two and then stop. And I've made that mistake in my career and have always regretted it. It's the moment you start to get busy, you think, oh, I can back off. And that's why we emphasize so much in this program is to build prospecting into your day as so that it becomes a habit, a regular habit. That's just every day. I'm sending out a couple of emails every day. I'm following up. I'm reaching out every day. I have a block of time that I spend doing that proactive reaching out and prospecting. It's never something I can guarantee you won't regret it. And if you have too much work, it's a good problem to have. There's plenty of people that now that you're connected to other writers, there's plenty of people that can help. In terms of you being able to, I see this a lot in some of the other groups that Ed has in place where people get busy. They've got a lot of projects and they need help. So they'll reach out and say, can someone write for me, maybe help with part of a project? That way they can retain the client as theirs, but have someone just kind of tuck up underneath them and help them with some of the workload. So lots of different ways to deal with that. If there is, if that situation arises, that'll be a fabulous situation for you to deal with. So no worries. When you get there, we can direct you on that. And Linda, another question. Does Ed recommend any automated tools for sending out warm emails, so many emails per day? There's a lot of tools that you can use. And I know that's, I'm pretty sure that's in session 5 also. In the email prospecting, he's got tools for finding and verifying email addresses in that section. I believe there is some information there too. Also, he's got a couple of recommendations for automated tools for, I know HubSpot is one that he recommends. I use HubSpot myself. I really like it. There are a number of different CRM tools, out there that are cloud-based that you just sign up and then you can automate emails. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think. I can, let me make a note, Linda, because off the top of my head, HubSpot's one of them where you can stack, and start an email chain or an email campaign. So if someone is part of your, let's say not yet ready, list, or perhaps someone you've just met, then you put them into this campaign and every 2 weeks they automatically receive another email from you. And I know HubSpot can do that, but I will ask and then we'll post it on Facebook. But I'll ask Ed if I know he's got a couple of others that he likes, but and HubSpot is actually free it's obviously a slightly limited functionality as with just about every software tool out there now is you get a free level of access with limited functionality. You can pay for more. And that's pretty much the way most tools work these days. But I will ask, and if anybody has any that they've explored and you want to share that in the chat right now, that would be super helpful if anybody on the call has explored any automated tools. Active Campaign is not a CRM tool. It's more of a Active Campaign is a little more expensive, but it's one that basically you can make these really big, long, elaborate automated campaigns, email campaigns, probably more than you need for where you are right now. So I will check, do a little bit of digging, and then I'll post it on Facebook so that I can answer that more fully for you. All right. Questions? Anybody else on the line with a question? Anybody else want to type a capital Q and let us know what it is that you have a question about? Anything that I can help with today? And also want to ask if you would share what's been most valuable for you so far in our conversation. We've had some good questions, some really good questions, ones that I'm sure if you haven't come across it yet, you probably will, depending on how long you've been in the program. And really some good discussion today. So if there's anything that's kind of stood out for you so far, type in a V, capital V for valuable, and let me know what has been so far an interesting thing that you hadn't thought about, perhaps something that you now are going to turn around and implement in your own practice, in your own business. Let's see, I'll just make a note. All right. Any other questions? Anything else of value and helpful today? Quiet bunch today. Linda, thank you. She says, I feel it's really valuable to pre-qualify clients before you contact them. I've had some less than pleasant experiences with answering ads or dealing with prospects who contact me. Definitely. Pre-qualify is really important. Really important aspect. And actually in session 6, Ed goes into details about qualifying a client, doing it on the phone, but also pre-qualifying. This is, again, it's a fine line that we walk between wanting to find a client, landing your first paying customer, and, but then, you know, working with someone who is going to be a decent customer at the same time. And Chris has a question. I was going to ask about follow-up, but you said that it was in section 8, so I'll wait until I get through that section first. Absolutely. So that is the session on nurturing not yet ready. So Chris, you had made a comment about, I believe people saying, you know, you want to know how to handle, or you're working on figuring out how to handle if someone says, yes, I'm interested, but not right now. That's the not yet ready group. And you definitely want to stay in touch with them. And Ed has a whole section on that, session 8, when you get through the program, and how to handle that really well. And it's a great, he's got some great suggestions in there for how to keep in touch, but not too much. Just a really good balance of staying in front of these people. It's amazing to me how many people come back and say, you know, 6 months after I reached out to this person, they came back and said, I'm ready now. I want to work with them. And that's why I always use the two P's, patience and persistence, because people aren't always ready. They do use your services. They would be interested in working with you, but they're not ready. They don't have a project right this minute, or maybe they are working. They know something's coming up. Maybe they're working with another resource, but maybe they're not happy with them. So they're, you know, but they've got a contract and have to work through that contract. Lots of different scenarios, that you'll come across as you're reaching out and connecting with people. But so yes, Ed has some terrific suggestions for how to take good care of the people who are showing an interest, and because it's worth it. It's really, really worth it. It's interesting. I know someone not too long ago, just recently, posted in one of the Facebook groups about that it was a year, over a year, that they kept in touch, just kind of did that drip and careful, just staying in front of the person on a regular basis, consistently. And about a year after they started that process, they reached out to set up time to talk and talk about projects. So it's not what you want to hear when you first get started. You don't want to wait a year for your first client. However, that's a not yet ready, and that goes in a different category, and that's a little bit different. So your hot prospects or your top prospects are the ones you want to work on right now and really be working to connect with. So anything else valuable? Any other questions? And I think I'm going to jump from key takeaways. Instead, we're going to jump right to the top action item. Does anybody type in with a capital A? Is there an action item after sitting through and listening to our conversation today? Anything that you're thinking going to implement in the coming week or so? So type in a capital A. And let us know what your top action item is going to be in the next week or so. And I hope it's prospecting. Prospecting's prospecting. Stick with those warm emails. Keep them going. It takes time. Linda, keep working on section 4, looking for referrals. Referrals are just amazing. Amazing, amazing. The other thing that you might think about, Linda, and anyone really, is to think about partnerships too. So referrals from someone who's a one-off, like a graphic designer. If you're doing, like, for example, if you're writing website content, if that's something you're comfortable doing, maybe connecting with graphic designers who build websites, that kind of thing. So looking for partnerships that you can start to develop that you're calling on the same people, but you're not competitors. Chris says you're going to take advantage of LinkedIn for prospecting. Such an awesome tool. In session 5, if you've not gotten there, I have 2 separate training videos that I've done for Ed that are all about LinkedIn and helping you to understand how it works and a little bit of etiquette, how to reach out to people. If you haven't gone through those, I definitely recommend that you do. If you're not as familiar with LinkedIn, most of the time I find people are super comfortable with Facebook. It's something they've been using for a long time. LinkedIn is very different, and it's a great video series. There's just 2 short videos to learn a little bit more about how LinkedIn works, but definitely take advantage of it. I'm a huge proponent of LinkedIn because it's an amazing tool for business, and especially for what we're doing as copywriters, B2B, we're reaching out to people who we otherwise would never be able to connect with. It's a great way to find those people. Jim says, continue building my list of ideal prospects using LinkedIn. Absolutely. It's a terrific tool to find the right people. So I'll go one more round here. If anybody has a question, we're going to end up wrapping up a little bit early today, but that's fine. If anybody else has a question, feel free to type in Q and ask your question now. And if not, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. So great questions today. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. I'm glad that you sat in, and I hope that you got some value out of our discussion today. This recording will be available, I believe, by tomorrow, if at the very latest Monday, and you'll be seeing that'll be posted. You'll receive a notification that it's up and available if you want to come back to it. But I don't see anybody else adding anything in the chat, so I am going to go ahead and wrap up this call. Thank you so much. Everybody have a great weekend. And a productive week next week, and I'll see you all on Facebook.